this morning's message. We're looking at the names of God and how important they are, because they describe and they present to us and they reveal to us the character and nature of God. But they also do something else. They convey God's grace and mercy to each and every one of us, how He lovingly cares for us. And those names also convey how He wonderfully supplies our needs. And one of the needs that we all have is the need of healing, don't we? And one of the names we look at is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. All of life. Now listen to this. This is a biblical principle. All of life, its strength, and the sustaining of life, that all comes from God. He's the author of your life, of my life. Not just the saved, but also the unsaved as well. In Exodus chapter 15, we have that name of God, Jehovah Rapha. Now the passage was read last week, so you have a little bit of an understanding, as long as you don't have short-term memory loss. Okay? But there you have in your outline before us part of Exodus chapter 15, where we find that name. If you willingly listen to the voice of the Lord your God, the Lord was telling His people then, and do that which is right in His eyes, and give ear to His commands, and keep all His statutes, He will put none of these diseases on you, and that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. The Lord who heals. You know, every week we have in our bulletin, you know and I know too, a list of those of physical needs, physical ailments. And we pray for them, not just on Sunday, the Lord's Day, but we also pray for them throughout the week. I know you do. I know because you have prayed for me, you've prayed for my wife too, and I know the power of God through prayer. Not the power of prayer, but the power of God through prayer, especially the prayers of His people. But you know, one thing we don't have in the bulletin with regard to prayer is the many others that are hurting and having pain, emotional pain, relational pain, relationship breaking. We don't have a list of those, and yet we're there too, aren't we? And we need healing. Those that have emotional pain, they know something is not right. Their heart's cry is that they would be healed. Those who have relationship issues in marriage and family, they know something is not right. And they know that they need to be healed. And those that are struggling with the same thing over and over and over again in rebellion against God and sin and the addiction that sin can have in the life, they know they need healing. They know something is not right. And all of those in every situation you and I find ourselves in, either for physical healing, emotional healing, relationship healing, whatever that may be, deliverance from the power of sin, Jehovah Rapha can do that. I'm convinced of that personally because I've experienced Him personally in my own life. And some of you are here sitting right here in this auditorium have experienced that power, that care, that love, that releasing mercy in your life. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. So as we come to this passage, if you will, we want to recognize some aspects, if you will, on how we can apply that truth, that revelation of God Himself for our lives, for our families, for our church family. We need healing for our communities, for our nation. We need healing. Pray with me. Father God, You have revealed Yourself wonderfully throughout Your Word. And these many names that we have been looking at and studying and learning from, and that we can learn not just more about You, but also learn to love You more, to trust You more, to walk with You closer, and to know that every need that we have, You, our Heavenly Father, can supply that need. And so, Lord, as we look at this revealed name of Yourself, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us, Lord, help us to understand and apply that truth, that grace, to our lives, to our marriages, to our families, to Your church, Lord Jesus, and praying that blessing upon this nation as well. We ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus, for Your glory. Amen. There in your outline before you have a bit of an understanding of what Rapha means. It's used 69 times throughout the Old Testament, but it's only used once in conjunction with Yahweh or Jehovah, and that's found in Exodus chapter 15. But it's used, it's a word that describes or conveys the process of healing or restoration and renewal. As you see in your outline before you, though it is more often used for physical healing, but it also conveys moral healing. It also conveys relational healing. It also conveys the healing of our spiritual lives. We've given you a number of verse passages, if you will, references that speak to that healing power and grace of God. But take a look, if you will, in Exodus chapter 15. The passage we'll be looking at, of course, the Israelites were led by the Lord to a place called Marah. It was Marah because they were looking, they were thirsty for 3 days. They were looking for water. Think of that, how thirsty they were. And then they found water. Wow, wonderful! They tasted the water and it was what?
Bitter.
Thus the name Marah. Marah in Hebrew means bitter, bitter waters. But the Lord led them to that place. But I want you to see that in Exodus chapter 15, it's a chapter of confusion. Because just before the chapter 15, you have chapter 14. Duh, right? Okay. But just before that, you have chapter 14, where you have wonderfully God delivered his people, and he opened the Red Sea, and they went through the Red Sea onto the Promised Land, and of course, the victory over Pharaoh and his soldiers. You know the story. God led them to that place. In fact, he was leading them out, and he said, "Oh, Moses, I want you to come back to this place here." And he placed them right between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. God did that. He could have led them another way, away from Pharaoh's army. The Lord also put within Pharaoh's heart to pursue the Israelites, to kill them, to slaughter them. Anybody that survived would be brought back into slavery. The Lord put his people right there so that he could show his glory, his power to deliver them. Has he ever put you in a difficult place? He has me many times. And sometimes I forget, he's in control. You know what I mean? Maybe you do too. Well, the Israelites, they forgot that he was in control. He was the one who was leading and directing. And it's in this time of testing, because he was not only testing their faith, but he was also testing their obedience. As he does with you and I, he tests our faith and our obedience to him. And we must obey him in faith. Chapter 15, a chapter of confusion, because right after that great and awesome deliverance, the parting of the Red Sea. Now you saw it. You saw it in the movie of Moses, didn't you? Okay, you remember that? Well, they couldn't even begin to capture the awesomeness of the real deal. Okay, they walked on dry land. And forever, every generation would be reminded of God delivering his people through the Red Sea, not by a bridge, but by a path. And God gave them the victory over Pharaoh. And there in chapter 15, you have them doing something very special. But you'll see why it's called a chapter of confusion. Come with me into your outline and chapter 14, of course, the great deliverance of the sea. In your outline, the Lord led them to a rock and a very wet place. And this is chapter 14. I'm sorry, just to get through the beginning part of your outline, okay? And the Lord gave them the victory. And then it says that the Lord feared the Lord and believed in him. The Lord had two blessings out of that deliverance. He gave them victory, his victory. They shared it. They didn't do anything but just stood there and watched. Amen? He did two things. He gave them victory over Pharaoh and his army, but he also moved their hearts to fear him and to believe in him. And sometimes the Lord will lead you and me into times of testing. Maybe between a Red Sea experience and Pharaoh's army. Or maybe to Marah, a place of bitterness, where you thought your needs were going to be supplied immediately. And God says, "No, not right now, beloved. I have something more important to do in your life." Maybe you're there. I don't know. But God knows, and you know. The Lord gave them the victory, and the people feared and believed in God. And as we continue in your outline before you, okay, the chapter of spiritual confusion. What do you do when the Lord delivers and blesses you? What do you do when the Lord delivers you? And he's delivered you, I'm sure, many times. The greatest deliverance, of course, is the deliverance of salvation. Amen? Oh, that deserves an amen if you're saved, you know. That's the greatest deliverance of all. But he's delivering you, I'm sure, many other times in many other ways. Well, what do? We have a choice. Sometimes I visit people in the hospital, you know that. And we pray for them, we pray for them as a church family. And God blesses them with renewed health and restoration. God delivered them. I find it interesting that a lot of times what people do is they take it for granted because they're in a good hospital, or they have a good doctor, or they've had good medication, or they've had good therapy, or they've had a successful surgery. And so they give the credit to others, or they give the credit to themselves. We have a choice. We really do. Yes, God uses the instruments of means. He uses surgery, he uses doctors, he uses medication, he uses hospitals. He uses all, and we'll see that in the book of James very shortly, how God uses all things for his glory. But sometimes we make the wrong choice and we don't give him the glory. Let's see what the people did here. Chapter 15. Well, the people sang to the Lord. Write that in. They sang to them. Verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song, not to themselves, not to each other, but they sang to the Lord. So the people sang to the Lord. There's just something wonderful about singing. That's why I get such blessings when we have the praise team. And today we had twice, not just once, but we had the men's choir sing twice. What a blessing. There's just something about singing praises. Write this passage down. Colossians chapter 3. We won't turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And you'll see there also the great importance for God's people to sing to the Lord. He mentions singing three different ways in that passage. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. He talks about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. He talks about the word of Christ in our lives, dwelling richly in us. But he also talks about singing. Three different words, the importance of singing. Well, that's what the people are doing here. They sang to the Lord. Then the people praised him. And then you find the following verses of their song, if you will. And they were praising the Lord. So the people not only sang to the Lord, but they were praising God. They weren't singing to the Lord about themselves. Oh, Lord, we walked across that Red Sea. No, they were praising God. And they were praising him for a real reason, their deliverance. Number 3, the people extolled his greatness and his victory. They extolled in that song his greatness and his victory. Be sure, when you come out of the hospital and you're healed, it was the Lord that did it. Yes, you used the instrument of means, but give him the praise and the glory. Maybe you didn't go to the hospital, but maybe you went to the doctor, maybe you've been taking some medication, whatever that may be. But God used all of that to bring his healing, his life, his restoration, his rapha into your life. Don't doubt that. Don't doubt that, please. They extolled his greatness and his glory. The last summary, the Lord's people glorified him. In summary, that's what they did. How great is our God, amen? And Psalm 103 says that we can bless him. He's blessing us all the time. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Think of that. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need any one of us. He doesn't need us all together either. But he wants us. And he delights when his children praise him. They extolled, they praised, they sang. In the summary, they glorified him. Well, let me ask you this, because the reason I say that chapter 15 is a chapter of confusion. Here, boy, they were really pumped up. I mean, they were singing, they were praising, they were extolling his greatness and his victory. They were glorifying the Lord. And the Lord led them to Marah. 3 days. 3 days looking for water. They probably saw it from a distance. Wow, look at that. What we're looking for. And there they are. They're at the water's edge, tasting the water, and it's bitter. Then they grumble and complain. Have you ever been there? I have. Sometimes the Lord brings you to Marah experiences in life so that we can grow in faith and that we can obey him. We can trust in him. You see, the Israelites had to learn how to trust in the Lord God Jehovah. They needed to learn how to trust in him as the one who heals them, the one who leads them, just like you and I. Marah. And then if you have a... Well, what do you do when you go to Marah? We have a choice. Let's take a look, if you will, and some of the choices you have. First of all, the Lord led them there. Chapter 15 and verse 22. I know it says, but you might take issue with me, say that Moses made the Israelites set out from the Red Sea, and they went into this chapter 15, verse 22, and went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water, and they came to Marah. You might say, well, Moses, no. Yes, Moses was God's instrument, human instrument to lead them, but God was leading Moses. It says that so in chapter 14. He led them by a cloud in the day and a fire by night. So God was leading them, yes, through Moses, through that cloud, through that fire, right to where he wanted them to be. You know something, beloved? Right now, where you are in your circumstance in life, whatever that may be, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically, God led you to that point. Right where you're at right now. What will you do when you come tomorrow? Will you complain? Will you grumble? You see, we have a choice. Every one of us. We can say these things. First of all, like on your outline before you have a stated truth. The Lord led them there, and he leads me there, and he leads you there. My response, I can say, I am here in your will, Lord. I am right here in your will. The Lord knew that the waters were bitter. Lord, you know my situation. Right now it's pretty bitter to me. But Lord, you know it all. And Lord, you've led me here. That I can learn to trust in you for your supply, for your guidance, for your healing, for your grace and mercy. Number three, the Lord had a plan. The Lord had a plan even before they even got out of Egypt. He knew he was going to take them to Marah and give them a test of their faith and their obedience. What did he do? He showed Moses the tree. Moses threw the tree in the bitter waters, and the waters turned sweet. What a wonderful, if you will, prophetic picture of the tree, the cross that our Savior was nailed on. What a bitter experience it was for him there in Golgotha on Calvary, for you and for me. Did he complain? Did he grumble? No, he didn't. He did cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was not a complaint. That was a cry that he experienced, and he cried out instead of you and me. You see, without Jesus Christ, we go through all life, and life is short, but eternity is long. And without Jesus Christ, at the end of that short life and the beginning of that eternity, there are millions upon millions of men and women and boys and girls who cry out because God is separated from them. Jesus Christ experienced that for you and I. The Lord brought them that healing to the waters, if you will. And then we have that wonderful passage in verse 26. Where the Lord takes that illustration of the healing of the waters from bitterness to sweetness in verse 1, saying, if you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. He is the one who heals us. Now sometimes the Lord doesn't heal us. Okay? Do we shake a fist at him? Do we complain? Do we grouse and grumble? Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, heal me of this thorn. And the Lord said, no, Paul. I'm going to allow this thorn to have its work in your life according to my sovereign will. That you would be humble. And because I am working this work of humbling in your life, I can use you more greatly. And because you have this thorn in your flesh that I'm allowing, you're going to learn the power of my grace in a way that you've never learned before. You see, sometimes the Lord doesn't heal us. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, let's be honest with each other. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. But while he gives us life and breath, And that measure of health, according to the days that he has ordained for us in the book that he's written, before you even were born, before you and I were even conceived, let us live this new life in Jesus Christ for his glory. Amen. You see, yes, we, like the unsaved, we're all going to die. But we know where we're going. And the best is yet to come. Amen. Yeah. Because Jehovah Rapha has given us new life. And he's given us Peter describes it as a divine nature new life. Think of that. Think of that. There is that new life in you, the real you in Jesus Christ that will never die. That's what Jesus promised. He is the life of the resurrection. You have within you the very seed of your resurrection. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Who did that? Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jesus. Amen. What do you do when he brings you to Mara? You grouse and grumble and complain. Say, Lord, I know you have a plan in this. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. In your outline before you, we all need healing. You might say, well, Bill, I'm as healthy now as I ever was. You're like a Caleb, right? Yeah, like a Caleb. Thank you, Dan. Okay. Okay. We all need healing. You have a number of verses there from Isaiah. Actually, the Lord is speaking to us through his word. We all need healing. Take a look, if you will, at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Why will you still be struck down? The Lord is speaking to his people then. He speaks to his people today in the same measure, in the same way. Take a look. Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. For the soul of the from the sole of the foot to the even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound with softened with oil. He's talking about their moral condition, their spiritual condition. Have you been there? The reality is, every one of us are there without Christ. Take a look at what he says there in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. As he follows up this diagnosis, he's a doctor, and he's giving a diagnosis of his people. And he said, this is what's wrong with you, but this is the healing. Jehovah Rapha is speaking to them, and he's speaking to you and I. Take a look at the healing. Isaiah chapter 118. He's writing a prescription, and later on he fulfills that prescription himself. Come now, let us reason together. Don't you love that? You can reason with God. Come now, let's talk. Let us commune. Yeah. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. You know, scarlet red was one of the dyes you cannot get out. Back then, and is it true today too? And that's how sin is. There's only one person, there's only one thing that can remove the stain of sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And his sacrifice. Though they are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Forgiveness and cleansing. Yes, we all need healing. We all need that cleansing. We all need that healing, that forgiveness. And where does it happen? You know, God's people were given such a wonderful picture from Jehovah Rapha of the complete and whole healing that he would be giving them if they would only believe. Isaiah chapter 53. God was telling his people, right there from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3:15, he's coming, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to heal you. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 53, the verse before you. But he was wounded for our transgressions, who? Jesus Christ. He was crushed for our iniquities, Jesus. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the healing. That's the healing. Ultimately, we all need that healing. Are you here today and you know about Jesus, but you really don't know him personally? I pray that you'll understand you can know him personally. You can know the one who perfectly fulfilled Isaiah chapter 53 for you. You can know Jehovah Rapha that will bring healing. Whether you're right there at the waters of Marah, whatever that bitterness is, whatever that experience is in your life, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your family, Let God speak to you. Would you bring it to Him today? I don't mean just it, but bring yourself to Him today. We talk about healing in the church. We need to have a balance because in our culture, in our time, there are a lot of things that are going on in the name of Jesus Christ that are not from Jesus at all. In the name of the church that is not in the church at all. I don't see anywhere in the Old Testament or in the New Testament where God is calling people to a healing ministry. Now, Jesus Christ healed people. We know that He did that. He did it out of love and compassion. But He also did it to give authentication to the message of the gospel. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, they came in crowds. He could have had a tent put up there and said, okay, we're going to have a healing ministry today for the next day and as long as we want. But He didn't. In fact, even the disciples said, oh boy, this is great, man. They're coming to our rabbi, to our teacher, to the one who we decided to follow. And the Lord says, let's move on. Why? Priority was the gospel. Not that He didn't heal. He did. Many times. There are many in Jerusalem that were still sick that He never touched with His hand, but He touched with His cross. Here in James, this is a clear balance. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders. Write that in. I forgot. There's another bullet. Before you have pray over him, write in call the elders. Call for the elders. Why is that? Notice, it's call the elders to come to his house. Not call the elders and let's have a healing ministry and have a healing night and everything else. That's not what he's saying. Call for the elders. Call for those who represent the body of Christ, of that assembly that person's a part of. Call for that elder, for those elders to come to that house and to pray with that person. You see, today, God uses the ministry of the church in that healing process. Where there's physical healing, and we see that right here in South Mountain Bible Church. When people are sick, we see people are praying, people are encouraging, people are sending cards, people are visiting, people are making phone calls to encourage, people are sending notes with God's word and to encourage them through God's word. People are making meals and bringing meals over. People are taking them to the doctors for therapy, various other things. Yes, we see the body of Christ is involved, and that's what God wants. He's not setting up a tent here in the back of the lot and saying, okay, let's have a healing ministry. We have the healing ministry right now. Right now. And God wants you and I to be involved in that. That's why He says, call the elders. They represent the church family. And then pray for them. Pray with faith and submission to the will of God. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll see in your outline, you'll see in that passage that we quoted there, and you have in your paper from James, and anoint them with oil. Now take a look at your outline. People have a big hang-up. In fact, even denominations have a big hang-up over this. Anoint them with oil. There are two words in the New Testament for pouring oil or applying oil. One word is alepho. The other word is kero, from which we get the word Christos, or the anointed one. Kero is most predominantly used in anointing for an office, like a priesthood, if you will, or what have you. That's the pouring of the oil upon the person in an anointing way. The word alepho, especially as it's used here in James, is not an anointing. And I know people say, well, that's anointing, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit, and they go on and on and on and pour all sorts of their own ideas and their own persuasions and their own prejudice into that passage. But alepho, anoint them, apply oil. Back in the New Testament days, and you even have it in the Middle East today, and we even found it there in Indonesia, there are a lot of medicinal uses of oils and ointments. And that's what's being used here. It's not pouring, if you will, a special little vial of oil on top of a person saying, well, in the name of Jesus, I want you to be healed. No. What are the elders doing? It was not unusual for the elders and leaders of the church to be part of the healing ministry of the church by bringing medicinal ointments to those who were sick. And then I find it interesting because this is right in smack dab in the book of James. And James is saying, if you only have faith in words and not actions, that's not living faith. That's not real faith. And so the application of medicinal oil is not in any way contrary to faith. It's exactly what James is saying. Pray, yes, pray in the Lord's name and the Lord, not the oil. And the Lord will heal that person in accordance with his will. It's not the oil. It's not the prayers. But God uses both medicine and prayers. Is that clear? I hope it is. If it isn't, we'll spend some time later and just go through that again. Because it's such a distortion of this passage. And even there's certain denominations that well, we won't go there. Okay? But here is anointing, medicinally applying. In fact, even the verb that's used here is in the intensive form. How do you pour oil intensively? You gush it out of them? That's not what he's saying. He's saying apply oil and rub it in, basically, the application of additional oil together with faith, believing that God wants us to care for others spiritually and medicinally as well, as God gives us those supplies. Like I remember in Indonesia, Pat Dennis, half crippled most of his life, had breathing problems. And over there, when you start having breathing problems, you don't have all the help you have today. Dennis knew the Lord and loved the Lord. He supported himself by making baskets and selling them. Dennis contracted pneumonia. His family took care of him, what little family he had. But you know, the greater family that he had was the church. And the church people, the men, would go over there and they would bathe him. It's so hot out there and so humid. And Dennis had a hard time breathing. But the church was over there. The church was ministering. The church was praying. Dennis wasn't healed from his physical ailments, but Dennis was healed eternally. A couple days went home to the Lord. Did God mess up? No. That work of grace and caring and mercy that the church showed him in Ansan spoke to the unsaved people that lived there. Because they saw that in the lives of the church people, there is a living God. His name is Jesus. But also his name is Jehovah Rapha. And Dennis was healed. He's in glory right now. Sin and sickness, yes, there's a relationship. Is every sickness due to sin? Well, ultimately, we can say that all sickness that we experience, that everyone experiences in this sin-cursed world, is because of the fall. In one sense, that's true. But can we say that for each individual incident, when you and I come down with some illness or so, that illness is because of personal sin? No. There are some times when indeed sickness is because of personal sin. And we have some references there, okay? Ultimately, all sickness is because of the fall. We would agree with that, because you're in agreement with the Word of God, okay? But not all sickness is due to personal sin. Remember when the disciples, there was a blind guy there, blind from birth. And of course, the disciples, they really wanted to look intelligent and theological and everything else. And they said, well, Lord, who sinned? Did this guy, well, he was born with blindness. How could he have sinned? He was born that way. Well, did he sin or did his parents? And the Lord said something very profound, something they never put in their box. Neither. His blindness is for the glory of God. And then God healed him. But there are times too when the Lord healed and he said to those who he healed, go forth and what? Sin no more. So there are occasions when our sins do bring the consequences of illness and ailments. But not all sickness is due to personal sin, because we live in a sin-cursed world. Is that clear? Personal application. What healing do you need in your life right now? What healing do you need? Is it a physical healing? Is it a moral healing? Maybe you're trapped in a sin that is so held on to you for years, and you think you've got it licked, and there it comes right back again. An addiction. A habit. A vile mouth. A corrupt heart. You need healing? I can tell you this morning, Jehovah Rapha is more than able to heal you. Maybe you need a healing in your marriage. Maybe you need a healing in your family, the lives of your children. Would you cry out to the Lord today and say, Lord, I know you because you first know me. I love you because you first loved me. Lord, in your name, I ask for your healing in this life. We're not talking about a healing ministry with a tent back there. But God's word does say that he heals. And that agency of means also is through the body of Christ, the church. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Father, you have revealed yourself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Lord, thank you for the greatest healing of all, our salvation, the forgiveness of all of our sins, the cleansing of our heart, a new heart, a new nature. You tell us that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Father, thank you for that healing through the grace and life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the healings that you bring into our lives every day. Lord, I believe there are some here right now. Their hearts are crying out. They're in pain, whether it be physical pain, whether it be emotional pain, whether it be spiritual pain, whether it be moral pain. Lord, hear their cry, we pray. We pray together with them as a church family. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for that healing. Lord, that your will would be done in their lives as it is in heaven. That in all of this, in our lives, in our church, in your church, Lord Jesus, you would be glorified. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.